Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Skipper Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Miraj Shah from Arihant Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Nirav. Hello and good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for joining the Skipper Limited Q3 earnings call. From the management today, we have Mr. Sharan Bansal, the Director of the company, Mr. Shiv Shankar Gupta, President of Finance and Operations, and Mr. Aditya Dujari, Deputy General Manager for Finance and Investor Relations. Without further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Sharan Bansal for his opening remarks and commentary. Over to you, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Miraj. Good evening to all of you, and thank you for your continued interest in Skipper. Please take note, any forward-looking statements made during the call must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the industry and company faces. Some of the key operational and financial highlights in comparison to previous year corresponding quarter were as follows. I'm pleased to inform you that we have delivered yet another good quarter, strong revenue performance across our major business segments in spite of inflationary cost push and geopolitical related challenges, while maintaining healthy operating margins of 11%+. The net revenue of the company stood at 445 crores against rupees 400 crores of Q3 last year. The segmental revenue breakup were as follows: engineering products, rupees 337 crores, polymer, rupees 98 crores, and infra segment, 10 crores. We achieved export sales of 497 crores in nine months FY23, showcasing growth of 85% over previous year third quarter and 96% growth in the nine-month period. Our export share in overall engineering revenue stood at 51% in Q3 FY23 and 48% in nine months FY23. Forex derivative M2M losses arising on account of sharp depreciation of rupee has resulted mainly the decrease of profitability of current year quarter by rupees 4.4 crores and a simultaneous increase or gain in profitability number of previous year corresponding period by 6.9 crores. The nature of the impact is largely notional. Thus, all comparative growth numbers are required to be calculated excluding the effect of Forex adjustments for better operational performance understanding and analysis on like-to-like basis. Our quarterly operating performance, excluding the impact of notional Forex gain or loss, were as follows. Operating EBITDA rose by 22%. The EBITDA increased to 49.7 crores against 40.6 crores. Standalone operating EBITDA margins improved to 11.2% in comparison to 10.2% in quarter three 2022, and 11.4% in nine months FY23 against 7.7% in nine months of last year. Engineering segment operating EBITDA margin improved to 13.3% in comparison to 11.5% in quarter three and 13.5% in nine months FY23 against 9.7% in nine months FY23. We clocked the desired margin range now for the last few quarters. Operating PBT almost doubled to rupees 13.8 crores against 6.7 crores in the third quarter last year. While operating PBT margin at 3.1% for the current year against 1.7% in last year quarter. Our JV, Skipper Metzger India LLP, engaged in the business of manufacturing of drip and micro-irrigation systems, has turned profitable and reported a PBT of rupees 4.7 crores during the quarter. The consolidated financial results include our portion of the same. The consolidated PAT increased to rupees 9.5 crores against rupees 7.3 crores last year, registering a growth of 30% over previous year quarter. The year-to-date 9-month consolidated PAT was at 11.9 crores against rupees 60 lakhs. On the order front, I am happy to inform you that the current year quarter was the best ever in the company's history. We secured our largest single order win valuing rupees 2,570 crores from Bharat Sanchar Nigam Limited for supply and erection of GBT towers and subsequent O&M for 5 years, extendable to 5 more years. This is to be executed in the uncovered villages of India under 4G saturation projects. The works are to be executed in the states of Rajasthan and Odisha and include development of approximately 3350 tower location sites. The telecom sites will be set up to provide 4G connectivity as part of 4G saturation project in areas still uncovered with any sort of mobile communication or are currently having only 2G, 3G connectivity. The total order inflow during the quarter, including BSNL, was rupees 2,863 crores during the quarter, and 9 months year-to-date inflows are 3,727 crores, which is the highest in company history. The closing engineering order book as on 31st December 22 now stands at 4,705 crores and is well diversified across sector and segments. The tender pipeline for us to participate looks deep, and the current bidding pipeline remains strong at 8,300 crores, with international share at 5,200 and domestic at 3,100 crores. The sector continues to witness uptake in both ordering and execution, and the company expects growth to gain further pace with increased participation opportunities across the globe. Just to inform, we are already in advanced stages of negotiation, some further good-sized contracts in international markets. Further, some notable developments on the government policy, which have a positive bearing on company's growth, are restoration of RoDTEP scheme in our engineering product business, which will boost our export competitiveness and potentially improve our operational performance. The company will also get immensely benefited from India and Australia free trade agreement. Our engineering products are now eligible to enjoy preferential market access and duty structure. This will boost our export competitiveness and future growth prospects. The recent government announcement for transmission system plan for integration of over 500 gigawatts of renewable capacity by 2030, which entails connecting mega solar park and wind power zone with national grid system and an investment outlay of 2.4 lakh crores in domestic transmission projects and construction of over 50,000 circuit kilometers of new transmission lines. This will provide necessary boost to the domestic T&D sector and augurs well for the company's prospects in future years. Thank you, and I'm happy to take your questions now.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for good setup numbers. My first question in terms of forex loss, around 44 million rupees, because of sharp depreciation of rupee against dollars. Could you please throw more light on what kind of hedging mechanisms we are using right now? And this is every time it will happen, or this is one time?
So firstly, in terms of the hedging mechanism that the company follows, we follow a conservative policy of hedging our entire order book with a forward cover on the dollar. And this has been our practice for several years. M2M loss, which you see this quarter, is, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, this is largely emotional because the realization of these export proceeds will come at the elevated dollar level. So, as such, we are not concerned with this, and this is part and parcel of our business. We would like to continue with the current policy or the hedging policy that the company follows.
Yes, sir. So my next question regarding exports and engineering, I think it's almost doubled. Like, which are the countries we are witnessing traction? Could you please share breakup in country-wise if available?
The export we are seeing in number of different markets. We are obviously exporting to all developing markets such as South Asia, Latin America, Africa, Southeast Asia. In recent times, we have also started seeing, traction from developed markets like Australia, West Asia, as well as US and Canada. I think with the growing need for renewable power integration, just the way Indian government is planning large-scale transmission line projects, similar projects are being planned around the world to integrate more and more renewable power into the grid. So that bodes well for the transmission sector, and we expect to see continuous good demand in the years to come.
Yeah. So my next question is regarding the order book. Like, the current order book around 4,705 crore. Like, this order book, how many months we can able to execute?
Normally the order book is to be executed over 6 to 7 quarters. This order book also contains the recently won BSNL order, which is a mix of CAPEX and OPEX. So the CAPEX portion we do expect to complete in 5 to 6 quarters. However, the OPEX will continue for 5 years after that.
So I think we have won major order from BSNL. Right now, in telecom side, major CAPEX is going on. The most of the players are expected to spend around $2 billion in the next 2 or 3 years. So we may see more order flow in telecom side.
Yes, telecom is an interesting market opportunity. We are the largest telecom tower manufacturer in the country. So we expect to see good demand for 5G network rollout from all the operators.
Okay, sir. Sir, what would be the sustainable margins and segment-wise, if you could share more light on that?
For our engineering product business, you should expect about 12% margin on a sustained basis.
Okay, sir. We are into EPC kind of business. What kind of sustainable working capital cycles we may expect? How we are in terms of how we are fine in terms with vendors as well as our customers?
Your question is about sustainable working capital cycle level.
Yes, sir. If you could throw some light on in terms of days.
We are targeting to bring our net working capital cash conversion cycle down by 30 days to normal level of 85 to 90 days. So again, last year, total for the full year, it was 120 days. So we are targeting to bring it down to about 90 days.
90 days. Okay, sir. That's it from my sector. I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Manish Chopra from Starview Capital. Please go ahead.
So I would like to understand your view on PVC business, how the things are shipping and how the demand environment is there at this point of time.
In the PVC business, we are seeing good growth on the top line. However, this year, because of sharp fall in commodity prices, we have seen some margin correction, and they're also impacted because of the inventory losses to the large fall in PVC prices. However, we expect polymer revenue and margins to rebound from quarter 4 of 23 onwards, a recent correction in prices augurs well for strong market demand and volume growth. Now, with the operational consolidation, benefits of scale and COC benefits, this is all of it points towards a more healthier margins going forward. Also, quarter four is in general a more robust quarter for the sector with increase in construction activities.
And how is the demand environment at this point of time? Are you going to see some inventory losses, inventory gains in this quarter?
I'm not sure about the inventory gains in this quarter. We have booked inventory losses already the previous quarter. We don't expect any further losses on inventory.
And how many number of days of inventory you are keeping on their books, sir?
Particularly, are you asking about the PVC business?
Yes, the PVC side.
Approximately 2 months of inventory, 60 days.
So are you seeing some government demand largely from the, like, government is focusing on largely on the transmission side and especially on the renewable side? Are you seeing some large orders because the Rajasthan government orders were on delayed because of that bird issue? Do you see some
great
pickup
Indian
there?
Issue, yes.
Yes, sir. So do you see some pickup there, sir?
Yes, now the, I believe the issue is resolved now. Government has come out with a clear policy on the same. So certainly we should see a lot of those tenders, Rajasthan tenders, being finalized now. Having said that, because of our well-diversified, market portfolio covering export and domestic, we are not concerned even if there is further delay in ordering in domestic.
And on the 4G, sir, on the BSNL order, what are the margins in this particular order, sir, and how is the working capital, what are the dues like? Because there are some of the vendors have talked about delay in payments, sir.
We are expecting margins of 10 to 11% in the BSNL order. We, at the bottom line, PBT level, it should be consistent with our overall PBT because the finance cost incidence will be lower due to the interest-free advances that we are going to get from BSNL. We do not expect any payment delays in this project because it is 100% funded by USO fund of the government, and USO fund is 55,000 crores strong, which is sitting with the government of India. So this project is to be 100% funded out of that fund. We do not expect to see any payment delays.
And this is the timeline for execution of 4,700 crore order?
As I mentioned to the previous analyst, normally our order book is to be executed over 5 to 6 quarters. The BSNL contract is split up 60-40. 60% is the capex part, which will get executed in 5 to 6 quarters. The opex part, which is 40%, will get split over, get executed in 5 years' time after the capex part is over.
Okay. Thank you, sir. If I have any more questions, I'll be back. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Magnum Equity. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, my question is on the hedging policy side, for the hedging policy for forex. So, current quarter, 11% EBITDA margin. So, is it sustainable or we are guiding more than this? And since it is one of our best quarter, so what's your view going forward?
Your question is that whether the margin of the company is sustainable at 11%.
Yes. And also, what's your view going forward?
Yeah, I mean, our expectation is that margins should consistently improve every quarter because the 11% margin that we have is inclusive of all our divisions, engineering and polymer. We do expect that polymer division with their consistently rising sales growth will see better and better EBITDA margins. So it should likely be that overall company margins will also come closer to 12% plus in line with the engineering margins. So we definitely feel 11% is very much sustainable and can be improved upon in the coming quarters.
Okay. So, sir, any number that we are targeting it?
We are, like I said, 12% is a number to target because our engineering margins, which is the larger portion of our revenue, are at 12%, 12% plus. So, definitely 12% plus is what we should be targeting for company level as well.
Okay. And, sir, as we have a good order book, so is there any cancellation term for our order book or this is totally fixed?
No. So we have approximately the 60% of our order book is on with price variation formula and another 50% which is on firm basis.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Balasubramanian from Mariam Capital. Please go ahead.
My question. Sir, on that polymer side, like we are focusing to double that retail sales touch point. And like, which are the states we are focusing on to expand that our touch points?
The current retail touch point is about 30,000, and we want to scale it up to double this number in the next.
So, any specific states we are targeting? South, North, like if you could throw more lights on that.
Northeast state and eastern states like Jharkhand, Odisha, and West Bengal. Other than that, we are also trying to penetrate into southern Indian markets.
Okay, sir. Sir, on that, like I have looking into the historical financials, like in FY18 till we are focused on domestic markets, I think so. So after that, the revenues, we have seen sharp decrease because of exports. Like, if you could throw some light on, like, what are the things impacted downturn or business?
Yeah, so basically after FY18, there were not enough opportunities in the domestic transmission business, which was our mainstay. Almost 80% of our revenue used to come from domestic T&D. So since then, we have actively work to diversify in two ways. One is sectoral diversification, where we have been focusing on telecom sector and railway sector very actively, and that has been that has worked well for us leading up to this order win in BSNL contract. And also we have increased our focus very much on geographical diversification by catering to more and more export markets and more export customers. So currently, Skipper has active exports to 50 plus countries around the world, and that number is growing every quarter. So that is what we have been focusing on since FY18, sectoral diversification as well as geographic diversification.
Bala, can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So on the telecom side, Jio, Airtel, these players are also our customers. So what kind of opportunities we have from these players?
Could you repeat your question, please?
Sir, on the telecom side, Jio, Airtel, these players are also our customers. If they are, like, what kind of opportunities from these players?
Yes, Jio is an active customer of ours in the telecom space. Airtel largely buys, doesn't buy towers, they get their towers installed from Indus Towers. So Indus is our customer as well.
Yes, sir. Sir, on that, how are the fittings planned, like having some tax exemptions? So, what kind of amount, like tax, we can able to save? Like, if you could throw more light on that.
On the income tax side.
Yes, the tax exemptions in Guwahati fittings plant.
Okay, the tax exemptions in Guwahati plant, you're saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. The tax exemptions largely are over in the Guwahati plant. So we are again. Largely they are over.
Okay, sir. Sir, on the raw material side, what is the trend on the raw material prices side, like PVC, this kind of materials, how are the things that right now is going on, how it will impact on the margin side?
The raw material side?
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Right, so the raw material prices are largely stable right now, and like I mentioned, 50% of our contracts are with price variation and 50% are on firm basis. And even on firm basis, the contract has to be executed over a particular time. We have made certain strategic decisions in terms of carrying higher inventory, etc., to cater to those firm price contracts. So we don't see a challenge, any major impact on the margin in the current commodity price scenario.
Yes, sir. Sir, on the project side, how we are choosing the projects? Is there any minimum criteria for IRR or margins level? How we are focusing on the project side?
Please repeat your question.
Sir, on the project side, is there any minimum criteria IRR or margin side? How we are focusing on fitting the projects?
So our strategy for projects is very clear. We bid very selectively for EPC projects, and you would have seen anyway EPC makes up about 100 to 200 crores of our top line out of 1800 crores. And we do a targeted approach, and that's why BSNL fits very well in our overall strategic framework. And our minimum threshold of margin is at least 12 to 13% EBITDA.
12 to 13%. Okay, sir. We are doing EPC projects for renewable side also. So in renewable side, which are the segment we are focusing on right now?
What?
So I think we are doing some EPC projects for renewable side.
Project for renewable.
Yes, sir.
No, so the EPC project that we are doing are, again, like I mentioned, we are doing very few EPC projects. Whatever projects we are doing, we are not doing anything on the generation side. They are focused on the transmission side, which cater to renewable sources.
Yes, sir. Yes. So right now, dependency on power grid has reduced due to private players. For the transmission space, so if you throw more light on that competition side, in the private segment.
You want me to throw light on the what part?
Right now, the dependency on power grid has reduced to private players' participation. And so on the private space side, what kind of competition we have right now?
I am not very clear what kind of competition you are talking about. Essentially, our company focus is to keep broad-basing our geographical presence and sectoral presence to avoid competition as much as possible and to get our company's margins. I really cannot comment on what kind of competition the private players have with Power Grid.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for my second.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So what percentage of our revenue would be from power sector and how much would be from telecom towers?
Telecom towers currently is low. It's about less than 15% of our engineering business. However, now with the BSNL contract, we do expect telecom towers to be a larger percentage.
And on the engineering side, the rest would be power or something else as well?
In the engineering business, mostly it would be power and railways. Railways to some extent also.
Okay. So I have a question that on the power side, are we seeing any shift in underground transmission happening, or overhead transmission towers would essentially be needed in India? Because what we have been hearing is underground transmission is also one thing which everyone is looking at.
Question. See, underground transmission, any transmission lines in cities or urban areas will get, you know, eventually converted to underground transmission. However, you have to keep in mind that underground transmission is almost 6 to 7 times more expensive on a per kilometer basis compared to overhead transmission lines. So honestly, there is no threat of overhead transmission lines getting 100% replaced by underground transmission. But yes, wherever land prices is a challenge, land prices wherever are high, and land has a monetizable value, then definitely we will see underground transmission lines, particularly in cities and urban areas.
Okay. So, also in India, too, there is always land acquisition problem which keeps on happening. So, how do you see this?
The Hello? Land acquisition is a problem in many areas. However, over the years, government has done some positive work in it. You know, Ministry of Power has specified, you know, earlier the system used to be only crop compensation, but now many states have adopted Ministry of Power recommendation and are paying up to the 85% value of the land where the tower is installed. And 15% of the value of land where the corridor is, that is between the two towers where the line is hung. So yeah, so I think it is an ongoing challenge, but it's a challenge in every country that we supply to. You know, land acquisition and right of way is probably a challenge in even developed countries like US and Australia, probably a bigger challenge in those places. Yes, but transmission line projects are a necessity, and policy makers consistently are coming up with better and better ways of installing transmission lines in a faster way.
Okay. And in the export market also, underground transmission is not a threat, right?
Everywhere. So underground transmission, like I said, will be done in only areas where the land price is very, very high, because the cost differential is 6 to 7 times overhead transmission line.
Understood. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sharan Bansal for closing comments.
Very well. Thank you, Miraj. And thank you to all the participants of the call. We are confident of profitable revenue growth of high double digits and a consistent margin in the current year, and expect to clock revenue growth in excess of 25% CAGR the next 3 financial years on back of strong pending execution of our order book and as well as strong polymer segment performance. Our diversification into international markets and sectors will help us to pick and choose higher margin orders coming our way and provide us an opportunity to be poised for choices across sectors, aiding to continue better margin performance, improve bottom line profitability and capital return ratios in the coming quarters. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to interacting with you again in the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.